Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Casper Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. How about that? We're actually both here today. I feel like this hasn't happened in a while. And truth be told, we're both not really feeling it. But we'll hammer through because we're professionals and we'll get there, I promise. I don't know. I'm extra bitchy today. I slept weird. My neck feels like I've been in a headlock for 12 straight hours. It's 1,000 degrees in here because they can't fix the air conditioning for whatever reason. Can't figure that out. Don't know. But every day you walk in here, it's like walking into an oven. Oh, well, you're going to complain about this? Oh, you're going to be happy to do your job for nothing. Everyone bitches about something about their job, so get over it. We'll get there. We'll be fine. We have Sarge along with us as well today, Chris. Hi, Sarge.
Good afternoon, Jim. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Sarge. It's been a while.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, it has been a while. Did they, never put you on the schedule anymore? What happened?
No, it's I've been doing a lot of Sundays now with the schedule shift. I don't have a lot of time with the full-time guys like yourself. We're in the book.
Oh, okay.
But, I've been busy with PA announcing and
what's
so
the latest with that, the Bruins PA job? Have they found someone? Are they going to go with you?
No word yet. No word yet. But I will be doing the Patriots tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, what's happened there, cool. too? I saw you tweet about this just recently because it's usually John Rook.
He'll still be there. I'm doing the promotion side. So you'll hear me introduce the national anthem and do a lot of stuff in between TV timeouts and so forth. So
nice,
very excited,
Sarge.
For that. Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Good
for you.
Guys.
That's
Appreciate
a good gig.
It. Yeah. It's filling, but, I'm very excited. Next man up.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. You always say yes.
That's it, buddy.
Outside of sexual favors. That's the only way you're going to get up in the world, Sarge.
Big Jim.
You say yes to everything when you're just trying to get yourself a full-time gig. I get that.
And that's it, buddy.
As a kid, I've mentioned it before, I always wanted a PA job for an NFL team. Could be even the Lions or the Cleveland Browns or some terrible team like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good gig.
Yeah.
Thank you. 8 games, not including playoffs. Pretty easy. You get to go. You get the best seat in the house. Good for you, Sarge.
Thank you very much.
All right, Patriots, Cowboys, Chris, tomorrow. This is your Super Bowl preview, right? Are you still dug in on that?
No, I'm still completely bunkered on the Cowboys coming out of the NFC. Yeah, I'm emotionally invested like I rarely am in anything related to sports these days with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't feel great about this game now. I did in terms of the Patriots, but now, if you haven't heard the latest, if you just might have missed the headlines there with Sarge, news this morning, the Patriots are likely going to be without wide receiver Philip Dorsett, according to Mike Reese, ESPN Boston. Dorsett has yet to clear the NFL concussion protocol for full football activity and thus may not be activated in time for the game. So that's not great, but he did participate in practice this week, unlike Mohamed Sanu, who's also dealing with what's being reported as a high ankle sprain because they got him returning punts. He got dinged up against the Eagles last week. He missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but he was limited yesterday. He was all taped up. And a tough SOB. If you look at his games played, as Maz always says, maybe the most underrated stat in all of sports, games played. He's always out there. But a high ankle sprain, you re-aggravate that, that's something that can, not only linger, it can shut you down for probably the rest of the season, or you're at least going to be at at best, maybe 25-30%. So if he doesn't play tomorrow, I'm okay with that. But without Dorsett, you go into this thing with Edelman, who's taken a beating this season, and he was on the injury report with a shoulder this week. N'Keal Harry, who looked meh at best last week in his debut against the Eagles, and Jacoby Myers, who I'm convinced Brady hates. So I don't know. I don't really feel great about this now, or as good as I did maybe just an hour ago until this news came out.
Yeah, certainly the struggles could continue for the offense without those guys. You know, I think really for me, what's interesting about this game is the other side of the ball with the defense, because now we're starting to get into the situation where you're going to play some legitimate passing attacks. And I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson. He's having an MVP season. But what the Ravens did against the Patriots, I think you can sort of say, okay, like how often are you going to run into that type of dynamic athlete, that type of offense? You can say it was a one-off. But now if you get into Dak Prescott, who leads the NFL in passing yards, and this Cowboys offense, which is number one in the NFL in yards per game, and they're able to move the football on you, I think that actually means a little bit more, especially when you look at after this, it's Watson, it's Mahomes. So now we get some actual quarterbacks, some actual offenses that maybe can give a little bit of pushback against the Patriots. And that's what's most interesting to me. I think we're really going to find out how good this defense is. Is it truly a historic defense? I still think, I've said all year, I think it's the best defense in the NFL. But is it really this epically good? Is it this historic? I think if you shut down Prescott and this Cowboys attack, then you go a ways towards proving that. I also would say, Jim, that I look at their schedule, and again, they can't control this. They can't control who's good, who's not. They can't control the fact that the Cleveland Browns are a flaming train wreck. But the reality is, winning any of these next three games, to me, is like automatically their best win of the season.
Yeah. Oh, how did you feel about the Eagles win? Did you think that was overrated?
I think it's a nice win, and it was good, and it was tough, and again, good feedback. But the Eagles were without their leading rusher and their best receiver. And the Eagles, I think, if you look at the NFC, which is clearly the deeper conference this year, they're like a borderline playoff team in the NFC.
Yeah. I still thought, because of the spot, I thought it was a good win, and the Eagles also coming out of their bye, and they needed it more. I'll still, you know, I think it's so far their best win of the season, but I would agree with that. I think it's a tad overrated because there was a couple of things. Like you said, you know, the players that they were without. And the other thing is, I think from a coaching standpoint, I thought they were stupid. Like Doug Peterson, who I had some respect for because of what he was able to do in the Super Bowl a couple of seasons ago, played right into the Patriots' hands. What's the best attribute of the Patriots' defense? They're secondary, right?
Yeah.
They kept throwing the ball. They had Carson Wentz throw the ball 40 times. And I know that they were without Howard and they were a little bit decimated at running back, but I don't know, like run the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it sort of changed for them a little bit when Lane Johnson went
out.
You know, they're like, okay, we can't run. I mean, you can make an argument that he's their best offensive lineman. I mean, you know, Brooks got the new contract. Kelsey's pretty good at center. Peters is getting a little older, but you can make an argument that Lane Johnson's their best offensive lineman. He's out of the game. Maybe they felt like they couldn't run, but no, you're right. I mean, I think that Philly win is their best win so far for the Patriots, but if they beat the Cowboys, even though it's at home,
oh, this is better.
I think it's a better win, and same thing would go with Houston and obviously Kansas City, especially if you do it the way you've been doing it, which is you're going to win some game where your offense only generates 20 points. Then I'm really impressed.
Yeah, and by the way, in case anyone's like maybe listening to this and you hear me with Felger Mez, you're like, well, you're contradicting yourself, you fraud. You say they're good enough to win as presently constituted. Yeah, if everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if they're without Sanu and Dorsett tomorrow, like, that's problematic, especially with the way that Brady's been playing. And the numbers aren't great, obviously. Like, I don't think he's been completely terrible, but I don't know. Like, I think he's part to blame on this. Yeah, the offensive line's been a sieve, and the weapons aren't optimal, but he's completing 63.7% of his passes. It's the lowest mark since 2013. And this is the one that was surprising to me. The yards per passing, it's just under 6.8. It's his lowest since 2002. That also, he plays into that as well.
Yeah, I mean, he does. I guess my question would be, there's some slippage there, but do you think, if you look at it, do you think his play is a symptom of their overall offensive issues, or do you think it's the underlying cause of their overall offensive issues?
What do you mean by that?
In other words, is his play a symptom of the overall issue with the offense in terms of offensive line, not being able to run the ball,
not
being able to throw it outside the net, or is he the reason that they're having these offensive struggles?
No,
is he the cause of it?
It's more the whole thing. But there were some throws, especially when they just even like the real easy ones, like the short to intermediate, even setting up screens last week, he's like throwing the ball in the dirt. Like, he's seeing ghosts, and I get it. Like, the offensive line has been complete garbage. Like, I understand his frustrations there, but he's also playing into this. Is he the biggest reason? No. It's the whole thing. But he's playing into it, too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard. I think it's sort of hard to gauge given what's around him, right? I mean, I'll say this. In terms of throwing it away, I mean, he's doing that a lot. I think that plays into the game manager thing. Maybe you can argue he's doing it too much, but if you have an offense that's limited and compromised and a defense that's this good and everybody wants him to be a game manager, like, Tom, why won't you accept being a game manager? Well, he is. That's why he leads the NFL in throwaways. If you look at Pro Football Reference, throwaway passes, he has 26. That's the most in the league. Now the question is, we could go back and look at those, and were there some of those where he could have bought a little more time, or you know, could have thrown it somewhere? Maybe. But I just look at the way they ran that offense last week. I mean, I was sitting in the press box. I said it like 5 minutes into the game. I was like, oh my God, this is all window dressing and smoke and mirrors today. It's going to be all screen passes and misdirection and motion and double passes. They ran a play by the goal line on, I can't remember what series it was, but it was like a goal to go play where they were so afraid of the pass rush that they rolled him out to his right. And I'm like, what is this play? You have a quarterback that's not mobile and whose greatest attribute is his vision, and you just cut off half the field.
Was that the one that he almost got intercepted? He tried to throw it to Sanu? Because that one, I remember him rolling out to the right. I was in that end
zone. Might have been that one. Yeah. But I was like, what is this play? You just cut off half the field for a guy whose greatest attribute is his vision. Are you that? Now, and remember, if they're rolling to his right, who are they rolling away from? Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got to get this guy the hell out of here so he has some time to stand up on two legs.
Well, so that's one of the pluses tomorrow. They're getting Isaiah Wynn back. It does feel, to me at least, Chris, that they're putting a lot on this kid's plate in
pressure.
Terms of expectations. He's played all of two games. And I remember even in the opener against the Steelers, like, he was good.
He was good.
He was good, but he's been injury prone. And we'll get to some of the comments made by Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach who talked yesterday. I don't know. Not the most ringing endorsement for
Isaiah Wynn. I didn't think
Isaiah
it was as bad as you guys made it out to
really?
Be.
Really?
I mean, Scar's not going to do backflips over anybody. And he did say, like, you know, good player. I mean, he did say, you know, nice kid. But then he also said nice player, a good player, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't just say, like, I know the way, I mean, look, for radio purposes, the way you played it up was better in terms of the guy or girl who has a great personality. But I thought he sneaked in there, you know, oh, yeah, good player.
Regardless of how we, you know, we dressed that up on Felger and Naz yesterday, I just think it's a lot on this kid's plate. Like, it's been talked about, especially with the way that Romo was talking, you know, because I ended up, you know, rewatching the game when I got home last week from being there. And hearing some of those clips, like, they make it sound like, well, everything's going to be fixed once Isaiah Wynn is back. Like, I don't know. Do we really know that? Especially in the running game, too.
Yeah,
like,
they struggled.
Yeah, so I don't know. A lot on his plate there. And I know, like I say, I just don't feel great about it. I'm not, it's usually pick it and stick it. But I don't know. As much as I don't feel great about the Patriots and their offense tomorrow, if you're not going to have Sanu and you're not going to have Dorsett, the Cowboys in a game like this with Jason Garrett as their head coach,
on
Chris,
the road.
And Dak's been great this year. And you know, they're a talented team, and I know they're dealing with some injuries as well. Lyle Collins has been iffy. It sounds like he's going to play.
Leighton Vander Esch is out with the neck. He has her neck right now.
That's big for them defensively, and they have a lot of weapons offensively, but, man, that coach is a dunce. And that team also lost to the Jets this year.
I know.
Oh, my God.
They're like, underachievers.
How much can I really trust the Cowboys in this spot tomorrow?
I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I do. And I think the difference is the coach and the locale. The game's at home for the Patriots. That will make a big difference, and obviously the coach. But I'll say this. For me, the Cowboys, when I look at that talent, they're your classic kind of like 2007, 2011 like Giants team where they're probably going to go 9-7 or 10-6, but they're going to get hot at the end and I think win that NFC.
Well, you're dug in.
Patriots,
Cowboys in the Super Bowl in Miami. So we're opening up talking Patriots. We will get to, speaking of next, holy crap, if you missed this last night, we'll get to this in the Sports Hub Celtics show in about 45 minutes. Kemba Walker avoided a massive scare. If you watched it in real time, it looked like, is he going to end up paralyzed on the floor here at the Pepsi Center in Denver? Just a real scare as the Celtics wrap up their road trip in Denver last night. So we'll get to that coming up. But we'll take your phone calls on the Pats here in the first hour or so at 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you and get to some of the comments made by Dante Scarnecchia on Isaiah Wynn and focus a little bit more on the injuries for the Patriots heading into tomorrow's game against Dallas. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, we'll share with the injury report comes out after practice. Make sure you get a copy. 100%.
As far as
no point in guessing on it. Might as well go out and practice and see what they can do and then, you know, make an accurate report. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, Ouija board it here this morning and tell you how a guy's going to feel before he's gone out there and done anything. I mean, that wouldn't be responsible on my part.
I think everyone just needs to worry and focus on what they're given and what the coaches, you know, have planned for us. So the more you worry about yourself, the better you prepare yourself going into a game. And I think that's the best way for us to, you know, continually try to improve.
That's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, followed by wide receiver Julian Edelman, talking about the injury status of other wide receivers on this team, specifically Philip Dorsett, and Mohamed Sanu, who it sounds like the Patriots won't have tomorrow. I mean, Dorsett, that sounds now like a lock, according to Mike Reese, ESPN Boston. He hasn't cleared the NFL concussion protocol, so he's probably not going to be activated in time for the game. And then Sanu, even though he practiced yesterday, all taped up, didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain. So who would they even have as a punt returner if they're not going to use him tomorrow? And they ended up putting Olszewski on injured reserve.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Edelman could do it.
Dude, he's already taken a beating. I don't think you can put him at risk.
I know.
Bolden?
Bolden, maybe.
Pat Chung?
N'Keal Harry did it in college. Chung's been banged up, too. I think that's kind of one of the areas of intrigue. Who's going to be back there? I'll be honest, and I'm not blaming anybody for this, but I didn't love Sanu being a punt returner. I felt like...
No, me either.
You spent a second-round pick on this guy. He's more important to Brady. Like, basically, your punt return game is fair catching it anyway. Like, just put somebody else back there. Just someone who can catch the... Like, put James White back there. He's valuable, but, you know, just fair catch the ball. Or how about Rex Burkhead? Because he's going to get hurt anyway. So if he gets hurt on a punt, what's the difference?
Yeah.
So and you're deep at that position.
Sounds like they're going to be extra thin tomorrow. I can't imagine that Tom Brady feels all that great about it, considering his attitude. And just, you know, your thoughts on that. Because, again, the Patriots win this game last week, 17-10. I thought so far it's their best win of the year. And afterwards, it's a complete mirror of how Brady was in the win in Buffalo, where he really wasn't the focal point. It was more about the defense. And he's basically talking like someone shot his dog in front of him. And I know I've been kicked out of the Brady Bobo Club you and others.
Yeah, a long time ago.
That card's been revoked,
there's
Chris.
There's vapor trails at this point.
And I would typically, you know, I would defend him nine times out of ten. But this, like, it's getting ridiculous. I get it. You're frustrated. But yeah. I don't know. To carry yourself like that, it's just, I don't think it's just fair to your teammates more than anything else.
Screw them. Look, the reality is, I think that this is, I think people are sort of misconstruing this to think that he's somehow putting himself above the team. He's not. It's not about the fact that the offense isn't scoring points, right? Obviously, that's frustrating to him. I think he'd be okay if they were showing improvement. I think what's discouraging for him is that they're not showing improvement. You know, towards the end of last year, they showed improvement. He was handing off all the time. He was fine, right? So it's not about that. I think it's that he sees an offense that's not just stuck in neutral, but going in reverse. You know, the last three games, they've scored 20 points. You know, against Cleveland, it was 27 points for the team, but Dante Hightower got in the end zone. The last four games, they're below 350 yards of total offense. You know, two out of his last three games, he's below 60% passing. It's like 55%. So when he looks at all those things, I think it's the idea that they're not getting better. And he knows they're 10 games into the season and they're not improving. Like the areas that are bad, red zone, inability to run the ball. There's no signs of improvement there. And I think that's what he's finding really, really frustrating. And I would also say, look, I think that he thought that he was going to have one particular set of receivers this year. And that set of receivers was going to have, in some way, shape, or form, some configuration of either Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, or Josh Gordon. And all those guys are gone. And now it's like this week in practice, who's he throwing to? Because we know Dorsett missed time. We know Sanu missed time. So he's throwing to N'Keal Harry, catch the ball, Jacoby Myers, and, you know, guys, Quincy Adebayo, who they signed, guys from the practice squad. So if you're him, like, what's the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah. Do you still think the Demaryius Thomas thing even is a little bit of a sticking point?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of him anyway, but I can understand maybe just from a veteran standpoint, at least there's some reliability there.
Yeah,
I think mentally.
I think he was like, hey, I know what this guy's capable of. Yeah. I know what he can do. And now it's like there's the variable of play to play, game to game. You know, what can this guy do? What can Harry do? And what can Myers do? So I think that's sort of thrown him off. I mean, you know, I've used the analogy before, and I have to say I spoke with someone who basically reinforced it for me. The idea of like Antonio Brown being that bite of the chocolate cake, and then he's getting pulled away after one bite. I think that has lingered with him, which is annoying, to be honest, but it has.
Quickly, what did you think of N'Keal Harry? Just like I said earlier, meh, that performance last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, yeah, he was. I mean, I didn't think he did anything that was seriously wrong, but I mean, again, sort of like Isaiah Wynn, he was being hailed as this like savior, and they're pumping. The biggest thing with Harry, he's in a really tough spot because he missed so much time. But what is interesting to me, and I've said this and I'll say it again, you know, after Brady was initially kind of lukewarm publicly last week leading into the Eagles game, I thought there was a concerted effort to talk about how hard he practices and he has an edge and everybody likes him. But the one thing they weren't saying was he gets it. He's ready. he knows the offense. You weren't you were not hearing that. And you're not going to, because it's not possible for him. He missed so much time.
Yeah. I'd love, believe me, I want to be proven wrong in that kid's case. But so far, he looks like a bust. Frank the Tank, you're first up here this morning on Gasper Murray. Hey, Frank.
Lee, Rocco, Sarge, how's it going?
Hello.
Frank.
Look, and Sarge, good for you, buddy. I hope it all works out for you, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Look, not only last week's win against Philly, I'm glad they won. Do I think it was their best win of the year? I guess, considering that I felt that they kind of played very, very poorly on offense, I'm starting to get concerned. I am. And it's weird saying that as a fan of a 9-1 team who is probably on their way to, you know, hosting another AFC championship game. But I think it's time. You know, so this week for me, this is Sony Michel's last chance, in my opinion. Is he going to, you know, finally become the cowbell? Is he going to be the running back that we think he should be? When are they going to give the other kid a chance? If Michel doesn't get it through this week, when are they going to give the other kid a chance? You know, this offensive line, I know there's some issues at tackle. Maybe Wynn solves that. I don't know. But I understand Brady's frustration to what you were saying, Chris. It doesn't seem like they're improving on a weekly basis. I think the wide receivers have to help with that. I think the offensive line has to help with that. Everybody's got to improve, and I just don't see it happening, like you said, Chris. And I'm starting to get concerned, but I'd like to see the coaching staff maybe give, you know, the other running back a shot in the offense and, you know, let's see if they can put something together other than what's been going on, because some of the play calling, especially in the last game, I mean, I just don't get it. So it's been frustrating the past couple of weeks.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, you're talking about Damian Harris, who they selected in the third round and has played, I think, you know.
He's played in two games. I mean, he's on the injury report now with the hamstring. So, you know, that obviously affects it. But he's been active for two games.
And I was going to say, I feel like I can count on one hand and have fingers left over how many snaps he's actually played this year. That's another good draft pick, too, there. So I don't know. I don't know what the expectations there. I think at this point, I've pretty much given up on Harris this year. Maybe, well, again, another case I hope I could be proven wrong there.
That's it's still a long way to go. I mean, you're still six games. Things can change.
But Sony Michel, that's another one.
Yeah, I honestly thought he was going to have a huge year. I thought he looked great in the preseason.
He did. It looked like Harris was pushing him. That was one of the things that was, you know,
They just have not been able to run the football. And you know, there's a stat that Pro Football Reference has, which is basically, you know, missed tackles, broken tackles, and the Patriots running backs are in the bottom of the league at that in terms of breaking tackles. So the offensive line has struggled, but when I look at Sony Michel, and I've said this before, he runs like a horse they put blinders on. It's just like straight ahead into tacklers, and that's not how I remember him at Georgia. So I have to question a little bit, you know, what's going on in terms of what are they prioritizing to him. If you are prioritizing to a running back, don't make negative plays, then don't take a running back in the first round. Because if you want big plays and creative plays, you have to take a few negative runs with it. There's going to be a -2 or a -3. You can find, you know, some guy off the scrap heap, Jonas Gray, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, to just run straight ahead every time and get 3.5. If that's what you want, if that's what you prioritize in a running back.
Brady down two wide receivers tomorrow. Doesn't sound like he's going to be with Mohamed Sanu and Philip Dorsett. Want to get your thoughts on that. Maybe that changes your perspective on tomorrow's game against Dallas. 617-779-0985. But they do get the savior back at left tackle, Isaiah Wynn. We'll get to Dante Scarnecchia's comments on him right after the Sports Hub headlines with Sarge.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Isaiah, I really like Isaiah, and I like the person, I like the player. We all like the person, and we like the player. We just gotta keep him out there, all right? That's really important. So we'll see how it all goes.
Maybe I'm reading into it a little bit too much. I tend to do that, but I don't know. I don't think that's the biggest ringing endorsement by Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach for the Patriots.
Scar's old school. He's not going to give the kid his due before he earns it. I think you are reading a little too much into it.
Yeah, he's talking about Isaiah Wynn there. Like, yeah, he's a good kid. We all like him.
I think you're projecting, Jim.
Yeah, well, Felger and I were doing this yesterday on the show. This is when, you know, well, she's got a great personality. You're trying to hook me up with this girl, man. Like, tell me a little bit about her. She's nice. She's really nice. She can cook great. She's from a good, strong family.
It's like before you and I were taken. So in your case, it'd be like, you know, he's really funny.
Right.
Yeah. And in my case, it would be like, oh, you know, he's pretty smart. Yeah.
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 How's the nose, though, on Jim? He's a funny guy. Yeah. Real quick-witted.
What about the head of hair on Jim? You know, Jim will make you laugh all the time.
he's tall. You need something from the top shelf, Jim can get that for you. Like, it's just, you know, there's certain things I feel like are getting left out there with Isaiah Wynn. I hope for the best on him, too. Love to be wrong. I know a lot of people have lost their minds because I once referred to him as the broken down fat kid from Georgia. Oh, the horror.
He does have the, Wednesday. He has the motivational thing he does. He tweets.
Oh, I didn't even know this. I don't follow him on Twitter.
He tweets these like motivational things like every Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, very like upbeat.
Let me look this corny crap up.
I think it's hashtag win with win. I think that's what it is. So that's just making your point about, oh, you know, he's a very upbeat guy, very thoughtful. Considerate of others.
Yeah.
Oh, can he block DeMarcus Lawrence? Well, he's very considerate of others.
he's a motivational guy. He's always trying to project the best.
Yeah. He wants the best for everyone. Do you think he'll improve the offense? You know, he really cares about the well-being of others.
I'll say this. If nothing else, he can't be any worse than Marshall Newhouse. Holy crap. So, you know, I feel like, and, you know, they looked it up and it looked like, we even had the numbers sent to us by Greg Bedard yesterday from PFF. Like, it feels to me like Brady's taking a beating this year, but the numbers show, like, they're towards, I think they're, you know, eighth from the bottom in terms of quarterback
hits.
They
are, yeah, they're down there. They're I think they're like 21st or something. I looked this up yesterday.
Yeah, and the same with sacks, but
that's the quarterback. He's always been his own best pass protection, and that's where he's throwing it into the ground, or he leads the NFL in intentional groundings with four. That's twice as many as any other quarterback. Jameis Winston second. If you have twice as many intentional groundings as Jameis Winston, that means you're anticipating your left tackle getting beat before the ball's even snapped.
Well, even if you're not really paying attention all that much to the line, if you're on social media, you'll see the clips pop up within 24 hours of the game, especially in that first half last week. I mean, Newhouse looks lost out there. There's guys just blowing right by him. So if Brady's just throwing it away or whatever it is, even if he's just not, you know, if they're not logging a QB hit on him, he's feeling that pressure constantly from that left side because he's a sieve. I get it.
It's a struggle. I mean, you know, that's not the role that guy was supposed to fill.
Right.
He's in a job that he's not supposed to be in. And it's sort of a worst case scenario. I know this type of logic is not great. It's not sexy. It doesn't fit with sports talk radio. But the reality is, you know, they had Jared Valdir. That guy retired. They tried to plug it. They end up trying to pull this kid, Newhouse. He's not a kid. He's, you know, a veteran player off the street. I mean, there's a reason this guy was on the street, and you're plugging him in at left tackle. And it's been bad. I mean, it's been really bad. And I'll say this. I do think it's affected Brady. I do think he is very aware of the limitations of his left tackle, and I do think it's had an effect.
Max in Boston on Brady. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Max.
Yeah, hey. I know the offensive line has obviously been an issue, but to me, it's all on Brady. He's not willing to stand in there, take a hit, and even when things break down, he can't run around and make something happen. When I watch other quarterbacks around the league, maybe like Jimmy G, he can make things happen with his feet, big plays down the field. Brady can't do that. If we had Jimmy G, someone like him.
All right. I'm not going to even entertain that. The man's 42. You got to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt with the age, too. Right.
I mean, he's actually gotten more mobile. If you had Jimmy G, I mean, Jimmy G's like a turnover. If you take away Jimmy G's games against the Arizona Cardinals, I think the count of touchdowns versus turnovers, it's like 12 to 10 or something like that. I looked this up the other day. Now I'm like desperately trying to find it. But it's like something like that where it's like his here it is. He would have – okay, if you take away his games against the Arizona Cardinals, also deleting the interceptions he threw against the Cardinals, Jimmy G would have 10 TD passes and 12 turnovers this season.
Yeah, and that's more indicative of the season that he's actually had. Because, again, those numbers are going to jump when you're playing the Arizona Cardinals. That was another one. I tried to get, you know, people trying to boo all over social media. What do you think about Garoppolo now? It's the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals. Everybody lights up the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He plays well against the Cardinals. That's great. But, I mean, I just gave you the numbers, like what it would be. He would have more turnovers than touch. And I, by the way, I am subtracting the turnovers he had against the Cardinals because he threw two the last time out with the four touchdowns. So I'm pulling those out, too, out of fairness. And he still would have more turnovers than touchdown passes.
Sean in Brockton with maybe one of the more underrated issues for this offense this year with the Patriots. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. First of all, that last call was a complete moron. because Brady moves better inside the pocket than probably any quarterback in the league. Yeah, he's not going to run and tape off, but he avoids a lot of pressure by moving around inside the pocket. But anyway, to get back to your point, Jimmy, you had said about Isaiah Wynn that he can't be any worse than Newhouse, and I hope to God that that is true, because it blows my mind that we made a trade for Corey Cunningham, we traded for Jermaine Illuminor. Apparently, those guys are worse than Newhouse, who is statistically and visually the worst left tackle in the history of NFL. It's unbelievable.
It's true.
But when I look at Isaiah Wynn, you know, number one, I'm a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan, so I actually didn't love the pick of Isaiah Wynn, because when they took him, I said, well, we have Joe Tooney, we have Shaq Mason, we don't need another guard in the first round. I didn't see him projected as a left tackle. Now, he's a great run blocker, a road grader, strong as can be, and I was very surprised to see the very limited action that he had, is that he has great feet, unbelievable feet. He's able to, you know, make up for that lack of height and long arms because he's beating guys spots with his feet. But I'm just hoping that now with an Achilles injury on top of turf toe, I'm hoping that doesn't slow the guy down. I hope he's truly healthy, because I think that he can make a huge difference in the run game, because running to the left side right now, you know, this piece of garbage that we have playing left tackle, He cannot set any type of edge at all.
Yeah, and Sean, I'm going to let you go on that. And as on the call screen, it said lack of fullback. Like, that's another thing that's also, I think, kind of hurt them a little bit. Those are all good points, though.
That was a good call.
Yeah, James Devlin, I think, has been one of the more underrated parts of this offense. Good point. And even when it was at Jakob Johnson.
Jakob Johnson.
Yeah, so like,
you're playing a Landon Roberts at fullback.
Right. You know, so without the fullback, I think that's also affected Sony Michel. But in terms of running on the edge, and he's been right, that's one of the things. At the very least, I do feel a little bit better about that, because Wynn did look pretty good earlier in the season before he got dinged up. They were able to run the ball at least on the edge a little bit better. It can't be any worse. Again, Newhouse has just been, they tried whatever the hell that they could with a guy that they took off the street. But he makes a good point. I forgot about that, like Illuminor.
Yeah, and Corey Cunningham. They gave up draft picks for those guys.
And what, you never even really saw them. So they come in as extra.
Illuminor will come in as like an extra blocker, basically as like a tackle eligible type in some of their power formations. But yeah, I mean, you really don't hear a lot about those guys. And that's a good point, actually. You'd think that maybe they would be a better. I mean, obviously Cunningham played the Dolphins game when Wynn got hurt, but we have not seen a lot of those guys in traditional roles.
Antonio Brown, it sounded like he could have been back in a Patriots uniform earlier this week.
God.
Thank God he's not going to be. We'll get to this and more of your Pat's calls as we will lead into the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon. So got a couple open lines you want to join us. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports
Hub. Tom, there's a report this evening that the Patriots have kicked some tires regarding Antonio Brown, who was with you for one game and then has not been with the team for quite some time. He issued an apology via Instagram earlier in the week to owner Robert Kraft for some of the words he said upon leaving the Patriots. Do you think there's any chance that Antonio Brown wears a Patriot uniform again this season?
I don't think those decisions obviously are up to me. You know, they're not up to me when we cut players or sign players, and I think the people in the personnel department decide those things. So my job is to play quarterback, and that's what I'm trying to do as well as I possibly can.
So that was an additional interview that Tom Brady did with Jim Gray of Westwood One, who I feel is like part of the Illuminati. I don't know how he gets all these interviews and all these exclusives.
He's scratchy.
Yeah, scratchy. Hey, scratchy. Hey, Tom. So that was from Thursday night, Casper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
The Meteor Mater D. Let me show you to your answer, Mr. Brady.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the answer is actually in the question, and here I'm just going to give you some boilerplate nonsense. I'm convinced that's how that goes. Like, all the questions are actually sent by Brady's camp, and you get the actual answer in the question, and then Brady just says whatever to make it look
good. How about the – and I know I shouldn't do this. I don't mean to ambush anybody, but how about when he asked the game manager question, and, like, he was like, I don't mean to offend anybody here. I don't want to be offensive, Tom.
Well, we have that right here.
Oh.
Tommy, you sound like you got some pep in your step, a little less frustrated than when we spoke to you on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm doing good. We've had a good couple of days of practice. And, you know, the football season, part of it is dealing with lots of different emotions. And you deal with...
I didn't cut it, B-Rob. Actually, that was the wrong one. I was thinking you meant the pep in your step one. But, yeah, that was the one from Monday.
Yes.
When Brady was like a grumpy Gus.
Yes.
And, yeah, that was like a slur for quarterbacks.
Yeah, the game manager one. I love that. And he's like, you know, I don't mean to be offensive here, Tom.
It's a bit much. But that's on Antonio Brown, and that was before the news came out, both from Tom Carr and NBC Sports Boston, Jeff Howell of The Athletic, saying that they had talked to Patriots inside sources that said that they were not going to be bringing him back. And thank God, because this was really, like, I never wanted him in the first place. We'll go back to September. I railed against it. I think he's too toxic. That was proven within 11 days of him being signed here. And I get it. He's wildly talented, but he's too much trouble. And in this case, the talent does not trump the trouble. It hasn't for years now with Antonio Brown. And I think defensively, and they can get by offensively, like they are, as long as everyone's healthy, they are good enough to make a deep run and win the Super Bowl. I believe that. They don't need Antonio Brown. And with everything that's happened since, too, like, it just ain't worth it, Chris. Like, I'm glad that got snuffed out. And I know that there's a large segment of Patriots fans that's just all about putting up another banner. It's about winning another title. And
win at all costs. Yeah, win by any means necessary.
And I'm typically like that. But in this guy's case, like, no, I'm dug in. I am so anti-Antonio Brown that I hated the thought of what they're going to bring him back just because they're paying him anyway. Like, and what, the quarterback is upset and he needs some help? Like, no.
I think the quarterback would welcome him back.
Of course he would.
I definitely think he would.
But are you on my side on
this,
too?
Or yeah, I don't want this guy back. Yeah. Here's where I'll admit I was wrong, though. And this is where I sort of disagree with you. I said back in September, you know, I didn't want him, and I still don't want him. But I said, not only do I not want him, they don't need him. They needed him. And they do need him now. And if they are a lesser team without him, he would be a big difference maker. I'm willing to sort of stand on the moral high ground and say it's not worth it to bring this guy back. He's not worth it as a player. With all the baggage that he brings. And also, I just don't think he's like a great, you know, influence or teammate, you know, because he's super talented. But the moment he's not getting the ball, he starts complaining. I mean, people are all over Brady for talking about, you know, his frustrations after games the Patriots are winning. But the same people want Antonio Brown back on this team, the ultimate selfish guy, the ultimate where are my stats guy. The guy who last year in Pittsburgh got upset because Juju Smith-Schuster was making his job easier and the team better. And that irritated Brown. You want that guy back, but you're going to criticize Brady?
Didn't he lose his mind because they named him the team MVP?
Yes, correct. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's completely contradictory. I don't want anything to do with that guy at this point.
Let's go to Ken in the car. As a Patriots thought. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Sarge, I just want to say I'm really excited to see you at Apex for Gawk Knox. And then I think after that, I think the Ravens are going to lose to the Rams, and the Patriots will once again have an edge for that number one seed. What do you think?
Well, they have the edge now. You know, they're a game up. But, yeah, I think certainly you start following those Ravens games a little more closely now because of the fact the Ravens have the tiebreaker. And that's another part of this. I think this stretch is, and it's the whole five-game stretch, but I'm intrigued. They're 1-1 so far in this five-game stretch in 6 weeks, right? So you lose to Lamar Jackson, you beat the Eagles. But these next three games, I'm really interested because it's when this year in a row, like consecutively, have they faced MVP caliber quarterbacks?
You're talking the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they haven't.
This
is where it's now starting to happen.
Boom,
and,
boom,
and,
boom.
And Prescott's having a good year. I'm not, like, I like, don't love him. Like,
oh,
at times,
I
think he makes, like, erratic throws and poor decisions. But he's had a better year, and it feels like Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator there, has opened things up, and it's a lot more motion. It feels very Andy Reid-esque there with their offense. But he's having a hell of a year. The Ravens, though, they're a problem. Like, you can't – that's no longer a fluke. They didn't have a one-off against the Patriots. If you've seen what they've done last couple of weeks, and I know one of them was against Cincinnati, it's not just – Lamar Jackson in the MVP caliber season he's having, like, their defense has come along.
I know,
well.
Yeah, that's the scary part. That defense, you know, I mean, the pass rush is coming along. Marcus Peters has made, he's made a difference for them with that team. I mean, to me, the most impressive thing when they beat Houston was what they did to Deshaun Watson. I mean, keeping him out of the end zone there in the first half. So, look, Baltimore, I think, is a legitimate contender. But my concern with the Patriots, when I look at it, Jim, and this is why I like this stretch coming up, is that, to me, the NFC is the superior conference, and I just get worried that, like you're saying the Patriots have enough. I absolutely think they have enough to get out of the AFC, but I worry that they get to the Super Bowl and run into a more complete opponent than they've really faced this year on the other side, and it's like shell shock.
Let's go to Matt in Medford with a thought on Tom Brady. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Great show. So I got a take. I'm lucky enough to listen to you guys every day, all day. I think we're missing one big piece, and we're not connecting the dots. Disclaimer, I'm a Brady fan, not a honk, and I hate the way he's been talking lately. But we are underplaying what Newhouse in the offensive line, how it affects Brady. I think that's what he's aggravated about. And I think he knows how bad his line is. It's affecting the throws. It even affects him wanting Antonio Brown because he can get rid of the ball quicker. So I just think we talk about him sucking, and we talk about the line not being good, but we're not connecting the dots. I think that's what Brady's attitude is all about. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Well, I mean, you've been on this. You think it's more maybe the line than anything else that has him so frustrated and so grumpy as of late.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. It's two things that go together. I mean, obviously the line, but it's they really can't get a lot of separation with that wide receiver core outside of Edelman. So those two things. So you're sitting there waiting for someone to get open, but you know you don't have a lot of time because you have a guy at left tackle that's struggling. And so when you marry those two things together, it gets really and then you can't run the ball. So you look at all that stuff, it's like, what do you want him to do? And I also think that at age 42, I think we've been spoiled in the past where it's like, well, you can just throw stuff out there and the guy's human spackle, he'll cover all the holes. I think it's a little harder for him to do at this age. I think like any quarterback, the older you get, you need more help, not less, even Brady. And even though he probably doesn't want to admit that, it's the truth.
Sarge, a couple of calls back. This one of these guys mentioned your event that you have coming up at Apex, who's one of the partners here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Plug away. What is this again?
Yeah, that's the Gonk Knox. It's this Monday night, 6:30. Andrew Roberts, an aspiring broadcaster, and some of the proceeds go toward the Flutie Foundation for Autistic Individuals. Andrew, also an autistic guy, and he's been a guy that's been here in the Sports Hub. Great kid. Bright future. Get out there if you can. Support the Flutie Foundation for Gonk Knox. Put together a great video, too.
Dark hair, glasses, right?
That's him.
Yeah, I know the kid. He's
you're
kid.
All invited, so.
Yeah, I know.
Love to have you.
I'm going to try, Sarge. It's tough for me to get out there on a Monday night, but it's a hell of an event. So, again,
great guy, Ken,
Apex tomorrow night.
Yep, Monday night.
Yeah. Starting at 6:30.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sarge is going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines here, and then we'll get to the Sports Hub Celtics show. Typically, I'm not this guy, but the Celtics have now lost two in a row here as they wrap up this road trip. And you should still feel pretty good about this team. You should feel great about this team, the way that they fought against the Clippers and last night in Denver, especially after they have a big scare with Kemba Walker. We'll get to all that in the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. foundation.org to get involved.